Desire an interest in your prayers this morning. The Lord will bless us, be with us this morning. Dependent on the Holy Spirit of the Lord to speak to our hearts and to help me to be a faithful, empty vessel by which the Lord can use as a conduit of His Word. We've been spending a good bit of time on the ordering of our lives and homes and some of the specific practical application of the Word of God as it applies to our day-to-day lives. This morning, however, I'm impressed to share a simple exhortation of challenge and encouragement as we head into a new year. And simply put, that is that we with singleness of heart run. With singleness of heart, we follow the captain of the Lord of hosts. With courage, with confidence, with faith, with trust, not looking back, not with uncertainty, but that we run with certainty. That's my message this morning. I'd like to start with an account in the 19th chapter of Genesis. Probably start reading at the 15th verse, but just a little quick background. This is the account where the angels of the Lord had met with Abraham, if you remember. And they told Abraham that they were going to destroy Sodom. And Abraham was concerned about that. He had family in Sodom and Gomorrah. And so, if you remember, Abraham asked the angels, look, is it possible that if there was just maybe 50 people in the whole city that were righteous, would you spare it? And the angel said, okay, we'll do that. Well, Abraham was a little concerned about that, and so he went down. I may be mistaken, so forgive me if I am. I think he went down by five. What if there's 45? You start thinking, would you destroy the city for just five, people out of that 50? What if there's 45? All right, we'll save the city at 45. What if there is just 40 people? How about that? Okay, we'll save the city if there's 40 people. Abraham's still concerned, and he stopped going down by fives, and he started going down by tens. And he said, what about 30? The angel said, okay, there's 30 people in the whole city. If you could get a hold of this, it relates. 30 people in the whole city. Just a few righteous people that are putting God first in their lives. Okay. Oh. What about 20? The angel said, all right. Abraham said, what about 10? The angel said, okay. 10 people. If there were 10 people in a city, how do you think those 10 people would feel with the influence that was around them? Everybody choosing to go a different way. And they look around and they feel alone. Or just, did we get it right? Did we get it right? It looks like this vibrant city. There's so much going on. And here, I mean, how can just 10 of us be right? Abraham said, angel, it's just 10. He said, okay. There wasn't 10. There wasn't 10. 15th verse of the 19th chapter of Genesis says, and when the morning arose, Then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise. They hastened him. The word hasten, speaks of quickly. It doesn't speak of slow, and it doesn't speak of hold back, and it doesn't speak of maybe tomorrow or putting off, or it means he hastened quickly. Come, let's move now. Get up from this place that's going to be destroyed. You're in danger. So the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife, thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while, get what it says, while he lingered, while Lot lingered, while he was doing exactly the opposite of hastening, while he lingered, after the angel said, you need to move. This is important. I know that maybe this city's been here a long time. It looks like that the days come and the days go, and things are planted and things grow and things are produced and they're reaped and they're taken in. Lives are lived and it goes day in and day out, and it seems like there's no possibility that just right away things are going to end. And he looks around and the angels are saying, oh, get up, let's go. We need to move out of here. And Lot lingered. And while he lingered, I don't know all of the reasons why, looking over his shoulder, well, wait, hold on. I don't know if this is exactly the right time. There's a few more things. Well, what about this? Well, what about that? While he lingered, the men, the angels laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful to them. And they brought them forth and set them without the city. And it came to pass when they brought them forth abroad that he said, escape for thy life. Your life's at stake. This isn't just your occupation. This isn't just a day. This isn't just, could be a bad moment. This is escape for your life. Don't look behind you. Look not behind you. Put this behind you and go forward. Neither stay thou in the plain. Escape to the mountain. Don't just remove yourself a little ways from the iniquity that's against God, and just in the plain, but go to the mountains where the safety is, lest thou be consumed. Well, we won't read these next few verses for sake of time. A lot have some reasons. Well, I don't know, if I go to the mountains, there may be something up there that I'm not able to survive that either. Is it okay if I stay in this city over here? And the angel was okay with that, told him that was fine. So he entered that city, and in the 24th verse it says, then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven, and he overthrew those cities. And get this, I've underlined it in my Bible, I don't know when, but I did. And all the plain. The Lord rained fire and brimstone down upon the city and upon all the plain. I'm not an artist. But there was mountains. There was the city of Gomorrah. And there was the plain. And they were in the city. And the angel said, don't only leave the city, but flee to the mountains. Get away from this area where the iniquity is. And it said that this whole area was destroyed. And all the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew upon the ground. Pretty dramatic. And the 26th verse says, it starts with a kind of a sad word, but, however, his wife looked back from behind him and she became a pillar of salt. They're headed out. But she, and she looked back. And it said she turned into a pillar of salt. It's always been such a sad account in so many ways. Avoidable. Avoidable account. And when you go back and you to understand how Lot got in this situation in the first place, you can see early warning signs. And we won't go back and read all that, but Lot was too focused on himself. He was too focused on the present. He was too focused on what looked good to the eyes. He wasn't focused enough on God. He wasn't focused enough on others. He wasn't focused enough on the power of influence. He wasn't focused enough on the potential consequences, long-term consequences of the decisions that he made. And the land with the best grass and the best water and this city of Sodom that no doubt seemed alive and vibrant and maybe different from what he had seen before. We know we have to be careful about different. Different's not always bad. A lot of times different is good. But just be careful about going away from established paths that are in alignment with the Word of God to different that appeal to the eyes of the flesh. That was probably different in Lot's mind, and we find early in where when he was looking at all of this that he pitched his tent toward Sodom. And you know the story, it wasn't long, and I don't know if he repitched it there and repitched it again there and then ended up in the city. But we know that at some point he ended up in the city, and there can be so much that can be said about this progression that took place. And it's so easy for us sometimes, I think, to feel like that we're the ones missing out. When we choose the road less traveled. When we choose the way that multitudes turn from. We start to grow up. We start making some decisions. We start ordering our own lives and our own homes. And we see the multitudes flocking this way. And yet the Spirit of the Lord is saying, no, this is the way, walk ye in it. And we look at the multitudes going another way. It's so easy to wonder and to start to feel like, well, but I might be missing out. I don't know about this. And when we look at the seeming prosperity of those that set their affection on things of the earth and not on things above, and when sometimes the return doesn't appear in the short term like it's as good as the return of those that are setting their affection on things on the earth, you can start to have this feeling of, I don't know, maybe I'm getting second best. Maybe there's something I'm missing out on. But if we give into that mindset of feeling like we're missing out, then what can happen is that with time, we can establish this new set of norms that maybe we before wouldn't have done, but we do now, and this becomes our new set of norms pitched towards, not in Sodom. We wouldn't do anything like that. I mean, we know that's wrong, but we didn't, there's nothing maybe so wrong with the plains. We're not in Sodom. But then after we get really comfortable with that, this doesn't look quite so bad. And when we get comfortable with that, this doesn't look quite so bad. And then we listen to things like, well, it's just the heart. It's a matter of the heart. It's not exactly where I am. so much, and it's not in, and then this doesn't look quite so bad. And then with the process of time and desensitization, our souls began to run dry of the oil of the Spirit. And it's followed by avoidable consequences that are not easily undone. And so, Jesus exhorted us in the 17th chapter of Luke. In the 32nd verse, I think, one of those three-word verses that have so much impact. You know, we talk sometimes together here about how the Lord can say so much in so few words. You remember what his words were here? Remember Lot's wife. That's all. Remember Lot's wife. Don't just remember it as this historical thing that happened, but remember the story. Remember what happened. Remember what led to it. Take instruction from it for yourself. And following that verse, Jesus said, immediately following that verse, I won't get it exactly right, but something like this. Remember Lot's wife. For they that seek to save their lives will lose it. But they that lose their lives shall preserve it. And it doesn't mean, oh, well, while you're on this earth, you know, you need to gather to yourself spinach and Brussels sprouts and all the things you don't like. I like Brussels sprouts and spinach. And you're going to have to put in your time now, and you're going to have all the second best, and so that later it can be better. That's not what it's saying when he says he that loses life. It's not saying don't do anything that you enjoy doing. God came to bring us life. The Lord came to give us abundant life. He came with the desire to give us, to fulfill us in ways that nothing else can. And so he endeavors to protect us from those things that we might otherwise be drawn to. And that's what he's speaking of. If you're willing to give up those things that appeal to the flesh, that are not in alignment with the Lord, and you're willing to lay those things down and follow me, you'll preserve life. Well, who wouldn't want to preserve life? What's the alternative to life? It's death. I don't want death. The Lord doesn't want us to experience death. So he said, remember Lot's wife. Here's my message. We have it right. We have it right this morning. Following the way less traveled. Following after the light of God and following after salvation results in eternal life. This is the right way to go. It's right to not be satisfied with living in the, I'm going to call them the neutral zones, the plains. It's right to be a people that says no. No, regardless of the way that everyone else goes, I want to go to the mountains. I want to go where God is. If I can say it this way and it makes sense, Lord help us to make sense. It's more than just about identifying where God is not. It's about trying to go where God is. You understand the difference? I can live my life where I say, well, is that sin? Does the Bible say anything that that's wrong? No? Okay. All right. Well, there's nothing. You can't tell me that's sin. You can't say that, you know, if God is not there, I'll stay away from that and I'll be here. There's nothing wrong with that because I'm not where God isn't. But that's a different mindset and heart then where's God? Where's the Spirit? Where do I need to go so that I can find God? That's different than, well, I'm just trying to live so that I'm, you know, nobody can put a finger on my life and say, well, see, you're doing something wrong. The Bible says, no, you can't put a finger on me. I don't want to live my life like that. Because I can find myself where I don't have God. I don't want to live in the plains. I want to live in the mountains where God is. I don't want to live my life where I wistfully look back over my shoulder to spiritually dry places, musing about what I might be leaving on the table, what I'm giving up. I want to live without reservation, without trepidation. I want, with singleness of heart, I want to live for God. I want to run. I don't want to linger. I want to make haste. And I want to do it with joy. And I want to do it with courage. And I want to do it with certainty. Even if the multitudes are going a different way. That's how I want to live. And those voices that says, yeah, but, you're missing out. Okay, let's just get this on the table. Okay, you are missing out. We are missing out. You know what we're missing out on? We're missing out on turning into a pillar of salt. Now, you might be sitting there this morning, you may be saying, well, preacher, I've read about it, but I've never seen it. I really don't think I'm going to turn into a pillar of salt. That might be just a little bit dramatic. But do you know where it left Lot's wife? When she turned into a pillar of salt, she no longer had life flowing through her heart and her veins. And many a people go through life choosing the way well traveled, without life flowing in their heart and veins. And we miss out on that. We miss out on drinking from leaking pitchers of water that don't satisfy. We miss out on being satisfied for a season. We miss out on finding fulfillment in our heart that goes beyond what we can go buy and purchase and barter for. We miss out on that. We miss out on being able to lay down on our pillow, on our bed at night, put our head on our pillow. We miss out on not being able to say, it is well with my soul. You know what? I want to miss out on those things. I don't want those things to be what defines my life. That is not what brings life. And this morning, this is not intended to be an emotional appeal. It is an appeal to truth. It is an appeal to consequence. It is an appeal to reality. The Scripture is given to us for instruction. It's given to us for edification and encouragement. It is given to us to help us be able to inform our perspectives on light and truth. And so that even in the face of the multitudes going a different way, we can know and understand the importance and value of pressing into the kingdom of God, regardless. Think about the passage in the 73rd chapter of Psalm. I think it was Asaph. And he said something like, I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. You remember? When I looked and I saw the wicked and the foolish and they were prospering, it looked like they were part of a city and that's where all the action was. It's where life is. It's where you can do what you want, be what you want, go where you want to go, live life. And it just looked like they were prospering. And the psalmist said, I looked at it and I was envious towards them. And he goes on some verses later, 13th verse maybe, and he said, well, have I cleansed my heart in vain? What was it not necessary for me to be so careful about how I live my life? We're a careful people. I want to be careful, not just because I want to be accepted by you. I do want your confidence. I want your confidence in me. But I don't want to live my life so that my purpose of living is just so that you all say, well done. I want to live my life so that the Lord looks at my life and says, by the grace of God that I've given you, well done. But the psalmist was looking around at all of this other prosperity. Maybe I didn't need to be so careful about trying to make sure I did everything right, as I believe a lot of us here do. Again, we're conscientious, we're careful people. We want to get it right. And yet, we can find ourselves, start looking around, and we can say, I don't know, is that really needful? Did I do this in vain? Was this really not necessary? Did I miss out on some things that maybe wasn't intended for me to miss out on? And that's how he was feeling until, and we read in verse 17, it said, until I went into the sanctuary. And not any old sanctuary. What did it say? Into the sanctuary of people? Is that what it said? What did it say? Of God. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, until I went where the presence of God was, then and only then, not before then, but only until then, when I got into the presence of God, then I understood the end of living like this. Of living away from God. What does that tell us? It tells us, I want to live my life where I have a steady diet of not just empty calories of life that just don't have sin in them. I don't want to live my life where I just say, well, you can't say that that's sin, and so it's neutral. I could try to live on celery. Does anybody just really like celery? I like it if it has peanut butter on it, but I don't just care for celery. But you can't say, well, celery is bad for you. Better not eat celery. It's bad for you. It's a sin in eating celery. It's gonna cost you your life. You can eat all the celery you want, as far as I know. But in the end, it's not enough. It may not hurt you, but you need more than that. I want to live my life so that my heart, my mind, my perception is informed by the Word of God, by truth, so that I can find life. I want to pitch my tent towards the mountains. I want to go to the mountains. I want to be where God is. I want to be as Christian was in the Pilgrim of Progress. You remember where he fled from the city of destruction, and he was crying out, life, life, eternal life. And he was running with a sense of urgency. He was running with the singleness of heart. He wasn't looking behind him. Oh, I don't know, how far do I have to get away from it and still be okay? Can I be just a couple blocks? Can I be within a mile? No, I'm leaving that. And I am going to life. Run, not lingering. I'm running towards the Spirit of God and where He dwells and where life is. And I am running away from that steals life. That's where I want to be. This is not about trying to remain accepted by a coalition of like-minded people. You don't need to get caught up in that. Where my whole life, I said just a few moments ago, and I say it as a warning in the fear of God, not just for you, but for me. If we are not careful, we can live our lives where I'm satisfied with just being accepted by you and just doing everything, just crossing all the I's, dotting the T's, have a checklist of all the things that are expected of me so that you can look at me and accept me. I can live my life under that bondage and never find it. Just live in the plains. This is not about just trying to satisfy a coalition of like-minded people. This is about following after the captain of the Lord of hosts that has called us out of darkness into this marvelous light, that is willing to lead us to a place of eternal life. This is about following one that loves us, that cares about us, that is interested in our welfare. And brothers and sisters, this morning, we do not have second best. We have not been relegated to just a life of sacrifice and giving up and absences of fulfillment. And, well, I'm a servant of God. And, no, I just bear heavy crosses. And my life is just one of sorrow. Well, there might be some of those things involved, but it is because they tend to give us life if we'll allow the Lord to help us with that. Where we can run with confidence and run with courage and run with joy. That I am following and am part of something that is bigger than myself, that is bigger than the multitudes. It is following after the living Word of God that has been alive for generation after generation, leading people safely home. And it is our time and it is our moment now, today, to rise up with haste, with courage and confidence, to follow after the captain of the Lord of hosts. Not looking behind us, but as the scripture says, pressing for the mark of the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Today, the Lord is worthy of your life. The Lord is worthy to be served. We have been called to a high calling, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, not second best. We have been called to life, and He is worthy to be followed. This morning, may all of us purpose by the grace of God to be part of that number. I want to be faithful. Amen.